Well, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. If we haven't met, I'd love to meet you afterwards. Do make yourself known, and we'll say hello. So page 884, and wave a hand if you don't have a Bible, and someone will bring one to you. Well, last week we began this new series of sermons in the book of Daniel, working our way through this Old Testament book. And we saw how God's people at this stage in their history have been taken into exile. The city of Jerusalem has been captured by the Babylonian Empire, and Daniel and his friends are living in Babylon in exile. And we saw in chapter 1 how they were trained up to serve the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And we thought, didn't we, if you were here last week, that this is a picture of the Christian life. Christians are citizens of God's city, the New Jerusalem. And yet we find ourselves living in Babylon, a city that doesn't recognize God and wants to mold us into its own culture. Well, tonight we've come to chapter 2, which, as you can see, is quite long. And so we're just going to hear part of it in our Bible readings, which will come in a few minutes' time. But before we do that, let's open in a prayer. The New Testament tells us everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. O Father, we pray that this book of Daniel would do just that. It would teach us about ourselves and about you. And we pray that it would encourage us to endure in the faith with a certain and eternal hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who can reveal the truth? Who can reveal the truth? That's a question that many people have asked over the last few years, isn't it? Who can reveal the truth about Brexit? There was much exaggeration and lying, I think, on both sides of that debate. Who can reveal the truth about COVID? We were all told to go into lockdowns and take these vaccines, and people were looking for the ultimate source of truth about that, weren't they? Who can reveal the truth about our world? What's happening in global politics as Russia pumps out this propaganda and the world powers are working out what to do about it? Some people are so suspicious of what's going on in the world that they turn to conspiracy theories, don't they? The world is actually controlled by secret societies of bankers and billionaires and lizard people and all this kind of stuff. Well, bringing it down from global events to a personal level, I think we ask the same question, don't we? Our lives can often seem very much out of control. We don't know what the future holds for us as individuals. Maybe some of us tonight are feeling that as you're going into an exam hall tomorrow morning. Who can reveal the truth about our lives and where they're heading? Well, stay tuned. We're going to have our first reading now from Mary, who's going to come up and read the first few verses. Thanks, Mary.
The first reading is Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honour. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, I am certain that you're trying to gain time because you realise that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanterer or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. This is the word of the Lord.
Very much for bringing that to us. Now, when I was a child, I had a recurring nightmare. Maybe some of you have had the same issue. In my nightmare, I was trapped inside a grandfather clock. I don't know why, where this came from. And the chime of the clock was ringing in my ears, and the pendulum was swinging backwards and forwards, and I was dodging out of the way of this thing until I woke up in a cold sweat. It wasn't very nice. Well, at this point, we don't know what the dream is that King Nebuchadnezzar has had, but I'm guessing it was something like that. Whatever it was, he says it troubled him, a mystery that he couldn't interpret. Well, as we live here in Babylon, we're tempted to look to our leaders for the truth, aren't we? But what we see here is that the mighty king of Babylon can't even see the truth himself, let alone reveal it to other people. He's the picture of the kind of leadership that we see in our world. And that brings us to our first heading tonight. He's a king who is unwise, cruel, and frustrated. He's unwise in how he goes about trying to figure out the dream, isn't he? I mean, how can those astrologers possibly work out what the dream is if he won't even tell them? I mean, he's not even giving them a fighting chance, is he? And perhaps some of our politicians make rash and unwise decisions like that, which are more about their ego and their career path than anything else. Nebuchadnezzar is cruel. I guess the most obvious example today is Vladimir Putin or Kim Jong-un. But closer to home, I was talking to a supermarket delivery driver recently, and he was almost in tears as he stood at my front door, because he said he couldn't keep up with the unreasonable and cruel schedule that he'd been given. Cruel management is everywhere. So let me just say, if you're suffering at the hands of someone like that, a cruel employer or a family member, please don't suffer in silence. Share it with somebody, maybe tonight. And lift it to God in prayer, because he's seen this before. On the other hand, if you are a leader of some kind, maybe you have people that you manage, well, ask yourself, am I going along with a kind of unwise and cruel leadership culture that exists in many organizations? Nebuchadnezzar is unwise, he's cruel, he's also very frustrated. I think you get the feeling as you read the text, don't you? This is a frustrated king. And frustration is another feature of life here in Babylon. Wealthy and powerful people get what they want for a while, but often at the end of their lives, they end up in a crisis. They're frustrated that all of the money they've amassed is just going to go off to someone else. They're frustrated because they can't figure out what it was all for. I read a quote from the singer Prince, or the artist formerly known as Prince, and he said, I reached the top of the mountain and I found nothing there. Isn't that tragic? And I'm sure he's not the only one. Ordinary people are frustrated too. Maybe you're frustrated this week. Maybe you're chasing after that elusive relationship. You're looking for a job. You're struggling with an untreatable illness. You cannot find what you want. It's a mystery that is hidden from you. And our frustration can often spill over, can't it, into anger and unreasonable behaviour. I think it's particularly an issue in later life, when we're retired and our bodies aren't quite doing what we'd like them to, or if we're going through a season of poor mental health. The world that we live in is unwise, it's cruel, and it's frustrating. We shouldn't be surprised by that. And the New Testament tells us why. It's because the world is under God's judgment. There's a verse in Romans chapter 1 that says, "The wrath of God, God's anger, is being revealed from heaven against all of the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." You see, as a human race, we have turned our backs on God. We're living life as we want to live it. And so the right response of God is to give us what we want, a life which doesn't involve him, a life which is at odds with our Maker's design for us. And eventually, unless we repent and turn back to him, well, we will face an eternity of unimaginable frustration without any of God's blessings. Last month, the government tested their new alarm system. I don't know if it worked on your phone. It didn't on mine, which is reassuring. If you're not a Christian here tonight, you're looking into these things, let me ask, might the frustrations that you experience in your life be an alarm like that? A warning that something is not right in your relationship with God? Well, in verse 11, the astrologers come back to the king and they say, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. So if the king can't reveal the truth, who can? Well, let's have our second reading now. Thanks, Callum.
The second reading continues from verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you, and you have made known to us the dream of the king." This is the word of the Lord.
What's the most courageous thing you have ever done, the bravest thing you've done in your life? Well, I remember a number of years ago now, I had to go in and tell my boss, this lady that I was working for, that she had made a serious mistake on this project we were working on together, knowing full well that that might get me into really big trouble. I was really expecting to get the sack at that point. Well, I imagine it took even more courage for Daniel at this point, didn't it? He's got a death sentence hanging over him, and he's going in to see the guy with the axe. Well, of course, Daniel's courage comes from his trust in God, which we saw in chapter 1 last week. Daniel knows he can depend on his God, the God who loves him. And God has given him great wisdom, which is how Daniel manages to get through this episode. He speaks tactfully to Arioch and asks for more time. And then he does what we should all be doing. He turns to the Lord. Look with me at verse 18. Daniel urges his friends to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed. You see, Daniel is trusting the God who reveals mysteries. That's our second heading tonight, the God who reveals mysteries. This is the same God that we can trust if we are Christian believers. He is a merciful God who has the power to reveal what's going on and to act to save his people. We encounter plenty of mysteries in life, don't we? How to answer an exam question, how to find the right job, how to respond to a medical diagnosis. And God won't always reveal the answer just like that, in the way that we hope or in the way that we expect. The answer to a prayer of faith might only become clear many years later as he teaches us dependence on him. We might never understand it this side of heaven, but we can trust God with these mysteries. Why? Well, because he has already revealed the biggest mystery of them all. The mystery of how a rebellious and sinful people like us can live with a holy God. In Paul's letter to the Colossians in the New Testament, he writes about the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to the Christians. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a mystery to be revealed to us. The mystery revealed on the cross as Jesus died in our place, as he took the punishment that our sins deserve so that we could live with a holy God. And Christ is now in us, with us, giving us that certain hope of the future as we battle on through this life. Well, for Daniel, of course, the mystery that he needed to be solved was the dream of the king. And God wonderfully revealed it to him in that vision at nighttime. And isn't it great how Daniel responds with this prayer of praise? Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his, says Daniel. Can you imagine the relief as Daniel knows that this death sentence may no longer be hanging over him? And verse 22, God reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. God reveals mysteries, and for that he deserves our praise, doesn't he? I wonder, do we praise God for what he's revealed to us? It's always a good habit to keep a note of the things that you've prayed for, because then you can go back and say, oh yes, God did keep that prayer. He has answered that prayer that I prayed in 2016 or whenever it was. And we can praise him for it. Most of all, every Christian at any moment can praise God for that greatest mystery that he's revealed to us, the mystery of our salvation. Why not praise God this week in your own prayer time using the words of Daniel? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? God reveals mysteries. And what he reveals to Daniel is that he is in charge. That's what we see in the next section of the passage, verses 24 to 45. The God who reveals that he rules. Daniel goes in to see the commander again, and he says, I can interpret this dream. I know what I'm doing now. And the king says, really? Can you really do it? And look what Daniel says in verse 27. He gives all the credit to God. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And Daniel goes on to describe the dream that the king has had. Now, perhaps we can have the picture up, please, on the next slide. Thank you. This is the substance of the dream. It's a dream about a statue, a dazzling statue. It has a gold head, a silver chest, a bronze belly, iron legs, and feet with a mixture of iron and clay. So it's made of different things. And then, in the next picture, a rock appears. A rock is cut out of the ground and smashes the statue to pieces. And then the rock grows to fill the whole earth. Well, that's the dream. A statue made of different things, a rock that destroys it, and then fills the world. Well, Daniel then goes on to give the king the meaning of all this. So if we can have the next picture. Daniel explains what the different parts of the statue represent. So the gold head represents the Babylonian Empire. The gold head is King Nebuchadnezzar himself. Daniel says in verse 37, "You, O king, are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air." That's who King Nebuchadnezzar is. Now, if you know your Bible particularly well, you might recognize that little phrase. Adam and Eve were given the same thing. They were given dominion over the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. And now God is giving that same kind of power and authority to Nebuchadnezzar. It's a pointed reminder that all power ultimately comes from God. Whether you're the king of Babylon, the prime minister of the UK, or anyone else. Now, Nebuchadnezzar needs to know that his power will not last forever. He's going to be replaced by the silver kingdom, and that's the Medo-Persians. And we're going to meet them later as we go through the book. King Darius the Mede and King Cyrus the Persian. After that, later on in history, there's going to be a bronze empire, and that's the Greeks. Beginning with Alexander the Great. The iron legs, anyone guess what comes next after the Greeks? It's the Romans, yes, the Roman Empire. And the reason that there's a mixture of iron and clay is that the Roman Empire was brittle. It ended up divided and defeated. Well, what about the rock? The rock is not cut out by human hands. That means it comes from God. Can you think of something or someone who came from God during the time of the Roman Empire, who destroyed all human authority and then grew to fill the earth? Well, the rock represents Jesus Christ. Jesus came into our world to establish an everlasting kingdom that would surpass any human kingdom. Every day, people around the world are hearing the good news of Jesus, bowing the knee to him. His kingdom is growing. It's filling the earth. And one day he will return in glory and every king will bow the knee before him. The point of the dream is that God rules. God is in charge of history. Other kingdoms rise and fall, but God rules. That is reassuring, isn't it? If there was no God, if we had a God who kept changing his mind, if we had lots of different gods, well, wouldn't the world be a frightening place to live? It would be a nightmare of disastrous possibilities, nuclear war, AI computers taking over. That's been in the news, hasn't it, this week? Asteroids obliterating the planet. All kinds of potential disasters in our own lives as well. But Christians do not need to worry, because our God rules over history. Nothing is a surprise to him. Romans chapter 8 famously says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Even when we can't see how, our God is ruling. So if you want to understand what's going on in the news this week, you don't need to read Huffington Post or the Sunday Times or wherever you go. Read this book, the Bible. And when it comes to our own lives, we can trust ourselves to God's loving care as we wait to meet Jesus in heaven. It also means that we need to submit ourselves to the authorities that God has put us under at the moment, whether that's teachers or employers or politicians. Romans chapter 13 says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." That's quite hard to hear, isn't it? Imagine you're a Christian who's suffering under a cruel boss or a despotic leader. But God is in control, and we are already part of his eternal kingdom in Christ. That is the perspective that will sustain us, to know that one day all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Well, Daniel finishes his speech in verse 45. He says, "The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy." So will we respond like Daniel did? Will we trust that God rules the world and over our lives as well? Will we trust that he works for our good, however things may appear? This has been an interesting lesson for King Nebuchadnezzar, hasn't it? Having started chapter 2 very angry and frustrated, unable to see the truth, he is now a king who praises God. That's our final heading, a king who praises God. Look with me at verse 47. "The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.'" Now, as we're going to see in the next few weeks, Nebuchadnezzar is not quite a believer yet. He's got some way to go in his understanding. In fact, next week he's going to throw Daniel's friends into the fire. I'll come back for that story. But he does recognize who God is, the God who reveals that he rules. Friends, if you're here tonight and you don't recognize God like that, well, will you at least consider the possibility that God is the one who reveals mysteries? God is the one who rules over the world. He alone can reveal the truth about what's going on around the world, but also in your life. Thankfully, this world is not random. It's not determined by the roll of a dice. God has a plan for history. It's a plan to bring everything under the loving rule of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Only God can bring you from this eternity of frustration to the joy of being a citizen of Jerusalem. If that sounds weird, if that sounds just strange, or you just don't believe what I'm saying, well, why don't you come along to Christianity Explored tomorrow evening? Let's talk about it some more. It'll be lovely to chat with you. If you're here tonight and you do know the God who rules, well, here's a question for you. Will you trust him and will you praise him for who he is? Will you, like Nebuchadnezzar, praise the God who gives you certainty as you go into that exam hall, as you go into work tomorrow? In verse 48, the king places Daniel into a high position. He gives him, the highest position he can. He's the ruler of a province. He lavishes gifts on Daniel. And it's just a little picture of the lavish reward and the responsibility that believers will have in that future kingdom. One day there will be great reward for all of those who keep going in the faith, trusting the God who reveals that he rules. Let's pray. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. Father, we thank you for this revelation of who you are. Help us to trust you in this week ahead. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.